Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
And Andrew's in the studio with us. Hi, Andrew.
Good morning, Ben.
So what's up for today? What are we talking about?
Well, Ben, I think I read an interesting case, and so we'll take a little break from the taxes. We'll let the folks in Washington try to figure out the tax code.
Yeah.
So this week we're going to dive into a little bit of estate planning issues.
Okay.
And I have a case that illustrates the fact that a will can be changed at any time prior to death.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just one thing that we need to be cognizant of. And so the facts are pretty simple in this particular case. We have a husband, and wife mm-hmm. in a second marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And the wife had two kids, from a previous marriage.
Right.
And they go into a lawyer's office in 2003 and they execute what we call mirror image wills. Same provisions. It says, you know, when I die, you get everything,
yeah.
spouse.
Right.
And then we're going to leave everything to stepson, Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to cut out my stepdaughter, Dorothy.
Okay.
So basically what happened is reciprocal wills in 2003, naming each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way that the setup was.
Now, whose kid was it?
It was wife's kid.
Okay.
So that's the way that we have it. And we're going to eliminate one of the stepchildren from the will and give everything to stepson Bobby. He's the apple of our eye.
Makes Thanksgiving. It's a wonderful time, doesn't it?
That's right. Well, then what happens is that mom dies.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, pursuant to the terms of her will, Ben, everything is left over to husband.
Right.
And so he gets everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, of course, a couple years pass on,
mm-hmm.
and stepdaughter's kind of hanging around stepdad,
mm-hmm.
and says, "Hey, what about your estate planning documents? Let's take a look at those."
Mm-hmm.
And finds out that basically everything is left to her brother,
mm-hmm.
and of course she's not that happy about that.
I imagine.
And so eventually, and this wasn't in the case of how it happened, but stepdad goes and executes a new will.
Mm-hmm.
And leaves everything to guess who, Ben?
Oh, no.
Stepdaughter.
Oh, completely flips it.
Completely flips it.
Wow.
Completely flips it.
Wow.
And so, of course, then stepdad dies. Daughter takes a copy of the will, probates it at the probate court, says, "I'm the sole beneficiary of this estate. I get all the lands. I mm-hmm. get all the bank accounts. I get all the property that was owned by my biological mother," because her estate, of course, passed over to husband.
Right.
"And then everything from my stepdad." So she's the sole heir. Well, of course, what happens? Stepbrother finds out,
yeah.
that, oh, there was this old will and it named me mm-hmm. as the beneficiary of the wills. So why don't I get something out of this deal?
Mm-hmm.
And so he sues, and Ben, he sues based upon breach of contract.
Really? Interesting.
Yes. He sues upon breach of contract and says that because when his mom
mm-hmm.
and his stepdad did these, what we call mirror image wills, you know, reciprocal wills that left everything to each other and then to me,
mm-hmm.
that was a contract that they had to abide by. And therefore, upon when he made this new will and left everything to my sister,
mm-hmm.
he breached the contract.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Creative.
What do you think?
Wrong.
Wrong.
Now, if it had been a prenuptial agreement, would that might have changed things? But maybe.
Yeah.
But no. I mean, you couldn't change a will.
That's right.
That's right. He's the only one left now. He can change his will if he wants to.
You got it. 100%.
Yeah.
Just when spouses go in and do these mirror image wills,
mm-hmm.
and one of them passes away, absent any language that's in the wills or a separate document that's incorporated into the wills, that's some type of, that has contract language in it, basically.
Right.
And there's consideration and all the valid elements of a contract are met, then you're free to change it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we had this conversation with spouses a lot, Ben, and it's like, okay, when you're in a second marriage, what are ways we can make sure that your wishes are upheld.
Right.
Because the bottom line is that when the first one that passes, the second one's in complete control of all of the property mm-hmm. that's out there. So, you know, there's definitely some techniques that can be used in order to make sure that your wishes are upheld. And, you know, the first one that comes to mind is that we can separate the property and say, okay, wife, what did you bring into the marriage? Mm-hmm. Husband, what did you bring into the marriage? Let's have you guys keep your property separate and distinct, meaning that, you know, we don't put joint with right of survivorship on anything. We don't hold
right.
property as tenants by the entirety, husband and wife. Mm-hmm. We hold property in our individual names. And upon the first one's passing, the property can pass into trust to take care of the spouse for the rest of their life.
Right.
But after that, it's going to go to who I want it to go to.
Right.
So it's a very, that's what I'd say is the way that we can make sure that the first one to die's wishes are actually going to be upheld. Because Ben, once that person dies, if they have property and it goes into the trust, as you very well know,
mm-hmm.
that's binding.
Yeah.
That's binding. That trust will control where that property goes.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you leave everything in this mirror image reciprocal will scenario, then there's no guarantee that the second to die spouse won't go and do exactly what this individual
exactly.
did and go and change the will and name everything to stepdaughter.
It's easy to take that scenario and blame her about somehow having some influence.
That's correct.
And you know, maybe the stepson could have found a element of duress there. I mean, perhaps.
It's an interesting case because, you know, usually in these particular matters, you do see, you know, the undue influence argument.
Right.
You know,
right.
Oh, stepdaughter had such controls and had her tentacles on stepdad
mm-hmm.
and forced him in some manner.
He was in bad health. You know, you can name
exactly
any number of
to
things.
To change his will. Or you look at the lack of testamentary capacity issue. You say, okay, this individual maybe didn't have the requisite capacity to actually sign a new will.
Mm-hmm.
But in this particular case, it was a one-issue wonder.
Yeah.
It was a one-issue wonder. And it's and what the theory of law was that these mirror image wills somehow represented a contract mm-hmm. that bound the second to die spouse from keeping his will the same. And guess what?
I'm assuming his lawyers could not find a precedent for that either.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, there's been some cases in the past that have gone through the Court of mm-hmm. Appeals, have gone through the Supreme Court that, you know, state this, that mm-hmm. we allow individuals, absent some other, you know, facts, to make new wills.
Now, you know, I can see the scenario here where he is making his new wife happy and go ahead and doing this mirror image will that names it, because if he goes first, then she's going to do what she wants anyway.
That's right.
And then if she goes first, he can change it.
That's
you
right.
Know? So, you know, I could see how that scenario could have played out, even absent of any influence of the stepdaughter.
I know. It's always interesting during meetings, Ben, when you're talking to, you know, it is really in second marriages where this becomes a mm-hmm. big issue. You know, and you're saying, well, how much do you trust the person you're sitting next to? Do you really believe that, you know, that this is going to stay put? And as the lawyer, I'm always, you know, very upfront and say, listen, the second one to die is going to control everything if you do this type of planning.
Right.
And you see this here. And then guess what? Not only have you done this type of planning, right, Ben?
Mm-hmm.
And then next thing you know, now you got a fractured, and maybe brother and sister didn't get along before this anyways, but
right.
certainly they're not going to get along very well after this, after brother is, you know, in effect sued sister.
Yeah. Again, Thanksgiving, very, very interesting time.
But, go on there.
But also, you know, obviously the second one in that first one to die is turned everything over to the other.
Yes.
Well, the other one get married again.
That's right.
Yeah, and here we go again.
You're exactly right.
Right. And everything gets rewritten.
Yeah,
so.
That's exactly right. And then they decide that they want to give something to the new spouse's
kids
or gives everything to the new spouse.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you really want to protect yourself and you're in a situation like this, it's so important, you know, to get the proper planning and to make sure, number one, you know, how important is this to you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get a lot of scenarios where someone says, well, I don't really, you know, I don't care. You know, we'll do this, you know, what I call mirror image planning,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, if husband goes and changes the will later, so be it.
Yeah, right.
So be it. I don't care. But if you really want to make sure that your property ultimately ends up with mm-hmm. the individuals that you want to have it, then, you know, then there's nothing better than doing the, you know, trust for spouse for life mm-hmm. and then leave, you know, what we call the remainder interest of the trust, to the individuals that you want, whether it be your biological kids or some other individuals. And that right there is the best way to make sure and safeguard that, that your property ultimately ends up in the hands of who you want.
Would prenuptials here had a role?
It could have, yeah. I mean, you know, what I'd say is that typically, Ben, when you have a prenuptial agreement, the person is, you know, waiving their spousal rights to mm-hmm. an estate. And so typically what we can do there is, as you know, there's this elective share right. Mm-hmm. There's a spousal allowance right. All that will be waived in the prenuptial agreement. And then we would be able to just have wills that would give things to each other's children directly. And right. the spouse would have no claim to the particular estate. Mm-hmm. So that's one way that we can handle everything.
Could have
done
up front. Again, yeah. up front is always better.
Up front and make sure that it's taken care of, you know. But if you're sitting out there and you're thinking, well, man, I got married second and we didn't do a prenuptial, always can do a postnuptial agreement. Mm-hmm. We can make sure that we get all that. There's a little bit more steps that we need to go through to make sure that it's going to be binding. Or, you know,
or like I said, the trust.
Yeah, exactly right. Mechanism. Or we can make sure that we set up a trust. And keep in mind, this trust is going to benefit the spouse for life. Mm-hmm. But it just makes sure that your property ends up in the ultimate hands of your designated beneficiaries.
Yeah. And again, these are things that, so often instead of trying to put out the fire,
yeah.
You know, you create the structure in the beginning.
That's
so,
exactly
so you
right.
don't have that argument later.
Exactly.
You want to find out more, you want to call on the folks at Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law, you go to, 252-726-9050, 1107 Bridges Street in Moorhead City. And you can also email Andrew A. Foster at HarvellandCollins.com. And Life and Taxes brought to you by Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law every Thursday morning. This is Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station.